Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
One week to go before the Republican convention, and what did the Romney campaign not want to be talking about heading into it? Paul Ryan's positions on Medicare and abortion. But here we are.
Like a lot of Americans, when I think about Medicare, it's not just a program. It's not just a bunch of numbers. It's what my mom relies on.
Paul Ryan, who believes in something, giving the Romney ticket a new passion and a firmer foundation, to be sure. But one of the things Ryan most fervently believes in is having tomorrow's seniors shop as individuals for Medicare insurance plans. Backlash underway, so he took his 78-year-old mom there with him to campaign in Florida over the weekend to reassure current seniors that this won't affect them. We'll get to the abortion issue in a minute and why that has suddenly gotten thrown into their faces. But Susan Page is USA Today's Washington bureau chief and White House correspondent. Hi, Susan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, it's great to be with you.
That Ryan clip is such a double-edged sword, reassuring seniors that don't worry, this won't affect you. It's only for the future, for people 55 and younger today. But doesn't it tell every voter under 55, hey, the Medicare that your 78-year-old mother depends on will not be there for you under my plan?
You know, here's one of the weird things about the Medicare issue. It cuts most deeply with seniors who would not be affected by anybody's proposal. And that's been the case for some time. And when you go to younger voters, it's not necessarily people who are 54 and kind of starting to look in that direction, but to voters under 40, they think the Medicare system has to be changed. So this, traditionally you'd say this was a complete loser for the Republican side. I'm not sure if some of the politics have not shifted a bit, partly because they've gone on the offensive in a way that independent fact checkers say isn't accurate, but gone on the offensive with the implications for Medicare and the Affordable Care Act. So I think it's a somewhat more complicated issue than it's been in the past.
So if younger people don't believe they'll have Medicare or Social Security anyway, which the polls indicate is the case, and are more worried about their tax burden from increasing debt, then maybe this isn't so scary to them. And Ryan, this weekend, put this race squarely in generational terms. Listen.
This is a defining moment. This is our generation's time. And you know what? We can do this. We can turn this thing around.
What's he trying to say there, and to whom, by saying this is our generation's time?
Well, I think he is trying to. He's 42. He's the youngest of the four candidates who will be on the major party's national tickets this year. I think he's saying some of these issues involving entitlements for seniors are ones that we can address and protect our own interests, because we know that a lot of younger people feel like they're going to be saddled with a huge government debt being left by people who are more my age. And concerned about that. But it is, I've got to say, it is a very risky calculation, because who votes for Republicans? Older people. I mean, seniors are the best group for Governor Romney, young people his worst group. So if you reassure young people, but they don't like you on social issues and other things, and they vote for Democrats anyway, doesn't do you any good. And if you scare the seniors on whom you're counting to turn out for you, especially in a state like Florida, which has suddenly become, I think, probably the number one swing state in the country, that puts you at risk. I mean, I think this is usually Medicare is a pretty clear issue. People trust Democrats on Medicare. If Medicare comes up, it's going to hurt Republicans and help Democrats. Again, I feel like this is an issue that's going to need to go on for a little while before we know exactly how it plays politically.
Yeah, and when you say Florida's emerging as the number one swing state, when you look at the Electoral College math, Romney must have Florida, right?
Well, yes. I mean, there's a scenario where he doesn't get Florida but gets every other state.
He would need to run the table on the other eight or so swing states.
And you know, Democrats have been trying to do that kind of math for a long time, and it doesn't seem to work. So, yes, I think that it's likely that if Romney is going to win, he's going to need to win Florida. And it's this time around a better state for him than a state like Ohio, which has turned out to be a little better for
Obama.
President Obama than Ohio sometimes been for Democrats in the past.
With the auto industry there and some other reasons. But do you think that they can't communicate to all those seniors in Florida that the Medicare reforms under Romney and Ryan would only take effect for people under 55 today? Is it that as many times as they say that, it's not going to break through, or that people hear it but don't believe them?
I don't know. I mean, the voters can be stubborn figures to try to break through, too. I mean, and you can see that also on the Democratic side of things, where the Democrats are trying to make the case that this $700 billion in cuts in Medicare spending in the Affordable Care Act does not affect services for seniors. And they're having a hard time breaking through with that issue, too.
Susan Page, Washington bureau chief for USA Today, covering the campaign, among other things. All right, abortion. Ryan has a 100% rating from the National Right to Life Committee, which is certainly not the issue of 2012. But yesterday, Republican congressman and U.S. Senate candidate Todd Akin of Missouri said this in a TV interview when asked if women who have been raped should be denied abortions.
What about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not?
It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be in the rapist and not attacking the child.
So, Susan Page, the female body has a way of, he was saying, shutting down conception after a rape as opposed to other kinds of sex. Had you known that bit of biological science before?
I was unfamiliar with that, and I'd be curious to for him to identify the doctors who have told him that. I mean, what a gift to the Democrats, not just in that very close Senate race in Missouri where Claire McCaskill has been underwater, even against a very conservative opponent, Todd Akin, but for Democrats' hope for holding the Senate generally, that just got better with those words.
And even outside of the political realm for a minute, is this what the anti-abortion folks tell people, you know, among the reasons that they can feel okay about opposing legal abortion even after a rape is that the female body shuts down the conception process? I mean, have you ever heard this before, even as a bit of rhetoric from the anti-abortion movement?
I have never heard this before, and one thing that I have heard from activists who oppose abortion rights is that pregnancy from rape is very rare, and going on to make the additional point that the congressman tried to make, which is that even if it's terrible for the woman, you don't want to attack the fetus. I mean, I've heard that argument before, but this argument is entirely new to me. And, you know, it was interesting when the congressman tried to back off it, when it became such a furor, he didn't make it clear whether he, in fact, believes this. And so I guess I assume he does believe it.
When Ryan was announced last week, the Obama campaign tweeted, quote, "Make sure the women in your life know Paul Ryan supports banning all abortions, even in cases of rape or incest," unquote. So thanks for nothing, Todd Akin, they must be saying in Romney headquarters, for making this an issue again when it wasn't an issue. Does this matter at all in an election that is so much about the economy?
I think it does. And, you know, one reason I think it does is because we know that women voters are among the most sought-after swing voters and that Governor Romney already has a problem with women voters. You know, I'm here in Washington, D.C., so we see the ads that are airing in Northern Virginia, one of the battleground states, and a lot of the Democratic and Obama ads focus on women's rights, on abortion, on Romney's comments on Planned Parenthood. So we know they think this is a voter group that's going to be important for them in states like Colorado and Virginia. Those are places, both states, they've been running those ads in. And, you know, last night, the Romney campaign sent out a statement saying that the Romney-Ryan ticket supports an exception for abortion in the case of rape. So whatever Ryan's position had been before he got on the ticket, that is the position of the ticket. And they were trying to make it, they were trying to get that out last night. And in addition, I don't know if you saw the comments that Governor Romney made just minutes ago before the show came on, trying to really get himself distanced from Akin. He said he did a phone interview with National View Online and called his comments insulting, inexcusable, and wrong, offensive. And Romney said, "I have an entirely different view, and what he said is entirely without merit, and he should correct it." So the degree to which Romney can distance himself from Todd Akin, he is clearly trying to do so.
Yes, though I just Googled Ryan abortion stance, and it looks like Romney is also trying to distance himself from his own running mate. Here are some of the things that came up in that search. New York Times blog 1 hour ago, Romney's statement on abortion contradicts Ryan's earlier stance. CBS News, Romney abortion view overrides Ryan in Akin response. New York Magazine, Romney and Ryan disagree on Akin's abortion comments. Disagree with Akin's abortion comments, but where does Ryan stand? So you get the idea.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what the worst thing is? If you're just looking at this, not in moral terms or factual terms, whatever, but just in pure politics, the worst thing for the Romney campaign is that we are talking about abortion and not talking about jobs.
Yep. Another one, The Hill. Paul Ryan's abortion stance could widen gender gap. So on they go. What about for Akin himself? I mean, the Senate is very much in play. Democrats are struggling to hold on to their majority in the Senate, which matters even more, I guess, if there's a Republican president, Mitt Romney. I don't know how close that U.S. Senate race is, but does this comment matter in the context of the Akin race?
Oh, yeah. The papers in Missouri this morning characterized this comment as something that would shake up a race that had been going in Akin's direction. And in fact, you know, we might see something happen in the next 36 hours because the deadline for to get Akin off the ballot and get another Republican on as the nominee is 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, it's that serious for him, huh?
So I think you are likely to see some Republicans encouraging him to do that. But, you know, we know with candidates sometimes it takes them a long time to realize just how deep the trouble is that they're in. And it would have to be up to him. I mean, they can't do it to him. He has to choose to get off the ballot, and there's that deadline just tomorrow.
All right. Let's do it. My guest again is Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Let's do a quick little romp through the Joe Biden, Romney, et cetera, rhetoric wheel here. And I guess what's happening in political terms is that with Paul Ryan being a lightning rod now as the running mate, the Republicans have begun to focus attacks on Biden to make him as much of a lightning rod as they can. Biden, who everybody knows is a gaffe-generating machine on the campaign trail, gave them fodder with this late last week, spoken to a Virginia audience with a fair number of African Americans in it.
Romney wants to let the, he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Joe Biden, clearly speaking, metaphorically, put you all back in chains, but he did imply that Republicans would set black people back with their policies. So Romney seized the moment to turn on the outrage.
So, Mr. President, take your campaign of division and anger and hate back to Chicago and let us get about rebuilding and reuniting America.
All right, Susan Page, let's take a deep breath. Can they make Joe Biden a political liability for the president?
And you know what? It's only August, and we've got language like this on both sides. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before. I think Biden I think he's not a big asset for President Obama because of the gaffes and because the fact he's become a big punchline. I think that language is pretty inartful. It certainly sounded like race baiting to me.
What about Romney's language with respect to race baiting? Obama being angry, go back to Chicago. We're hearing the word angry more often. There was also the recent debunked claim that Obama would loosen the work requirements on welfare recipients. So people are wondering if racial code is beginning to creep in. Angry black man, enabler of welfare queens, without quite saying those words.
You know, I completely agree. It's not, I mean, the Democrats aren't alone, and I don't even think they're the worst. It's just that it's just polluted this election, it seems to me. Talking about the debunked welfare claim, the Romney people came out with their third TV ad this morning on that debunked claim. So they are doubling down on it, but it's getting very little attention in the wake of the Akin dispute and also the romp in the Sea of Galilee, which you may want to talk about later.
Tell me about that.
Well, it turns out last year there was some Republican members of Congress, including the majority leader, Eric Cantor, who was on a trip to a fact-finding trip to Israel. And one night after some drinking, they went swimming in the Sea of Galilee, including one congressman from Kansas who went skinny dipping. And this is, of course, the Politico has broken the story this morning. It is really a flame. And I got to say, I'm from Kansas, born and raised there. This is not likely to play well in his home state.
No, but give me a New Yorker's. I'm a Queens boy, so a reality check on this. Going skinny dipping is a scandal?
In the Sea of Galilee, a sacred, in a sacred land while you're on a congressional fact-finding trip. You know, it's hard to believe congressional approval ratings could get lower, but I think this could drive them down even a bit lower. And I think it's got, these were House Republicans. It's like another diversionary issue that is going to get talked about and that paints politicians, boy, in such a bad light.
Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. As you say, it's only August. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
And, of course, listeners, we will have a WNYC and Brian Lehrer Show team at the conventions. The Republicans starting next week. The Democrats the week after that will be doing a lot of coverage. We expect to have a lot of National Democrats and Republicans on the show over the 2 weeks of the convention time. And really not just talk to them about all this bottom-feeding campaigning, but talk to them about a lot of issues when we have the opportunity to talk to some of those folks in the next few weeks. So there'll be a lot to listen for right here once the conventions begin a week from Monday. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how are your deferred applications going? We will take calls from young immigrants who have applied in the last few days. Stay tuned.